is the Sports Fever. If it's a sport, we cover it. And here are the hosts, Anthony Colasano, Dom DeRosa, Noah Gugliotta, also known as Googs, and Sean Johnson.
.com. Proudly nominated for a National Association of Broadcasters 2019 Marconi Award for Best College Radio Station of the Year. And live from the Rider University Studios, it's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Anthony Colasano. And alongside me today, it's Dom DeRosa and Sean Johnson. Notice how I didn't say Noah Gugliotta, or otherwise known as Googs, because he's not here with us this week. He unfortunately couldn't make it. We're going to miss him. It's going to be a fun and exciting show.
How dare him? How
yeah,
dare
I know, real. Like, he, like this is probably the biggest show of the year, and he wants to miss it?
Yeah.
Come on, Noah.
I would never miss a show. Never.
No, but exactly. No. Sean's been to every single one.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Sean Standard Time. We came up with a thing. It's like, what was it, Dom? It was like, what, SST or? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. If it's 4 p.m. our time, it's 4 a.m. Sean's time. You know what I'm saying? It's 12 hours the opposite way.
Yeah, but nevertheless, Sean is here with us, so is Dom, and our long-awaited guest that I've been teasing about for the last couple of months, Jimmy Mulvaney, is here, otherwise known as Sean's cousin.
I was going to say Googs there.
Anthony.
yeah, thank God I didn't. But Jimmy, how you doing today?
Doing pretty well.
All right, cool. We got a fun, 2 hours. First hour of the show, we're going to interview Jimmy, and the second hour is going to be kind of this fun, normal show, except Jim's gonna be with us. We're kind of catering towards him since he is our guest. But Jimmy, off season is underway. Baseball is officially under wraps for the winter. Are you happy? Are you sad? Like, what are your thoughts going into this off season?
I mean, it's sad this season's over, but obviously good to get a break. With the COVID over the summer and fall, a lot of games squeezed into a short amount of time, so it's good to take a couple months off.
Now, did you like the? I mean, obviously you had to adapt, but what were some of the challenges with playing during COVID?
The first few months, it was obviously a lot more strict than it has been recently now that things have opened up, but not keeping as many guys in the dugout, trying to stay spread apart and staying ready throughout quarantine was pretty rough, getting used to live pitching again and getting back into it, but it was a fun time.
So what did you do? Obviously when everything got shut down and everything, what were you doing to kind of stay in shape and game ready during those couple months?
So the first few months, obviously wasn't much you can do, not able to leave your house or be around other people. So just trying to lift, stay ready, anything you do at home, get stronger and better. But as far as staying ready for the season and getting ready to be game ready, as you said, a couple guys on our team would get together once a week, two or three of us, spread apart and throw and see live pitching sometimes, just try and stay ready.
No, obviously, I've been, me and Sean, obviously, been to your house a couple of times. Obviously, the batting cage that you have probably played a big role into you staying in shape.
Yeah, and even obviously hitting out there, just staying ready off the tee, whatever I can do. But even playing catch, hard to get someone to throw with all the time. So just having that throw into the net, keep the arm ready, is very helpful.
No, yeah, for sure. Now, obviously, the season. Now, how does it kind of work with the AAU in this kind of in your realm? Because obviously, it's different for basketball and other sports. So how does it work for this? Because I was kind of confused when I first met you and you were talking about it and Sean was briefing me on it. I didn't know how it worked or stuff in terms of scheduling and season. Because I thought you were done in September, but you're no, I'm still going. I was wow.
So it's really, we break it up into the season. So the fall season is after you get a short break from summer, it kind of rolls right into it. It's around beginning of September to run this week, last week of October, first week in November.
Mm-hmm.
And then normally that month in November is when you're shut down, rest your arm and everything, and then pick back up in the winter, get ready for the season. And then once you're in high school, spring is obviously school ball, so there's no travel or AAU at that point. And then summer is when that really picks up, and you're probably playing a week-long tournament most weeks, maybe a couple of days off here and there.
Now, what's your favorite, school ball or AAU ball?
Well, I'm a sophomore this year, so last year was my freshman year. Obviously lost the season because of COVID, so I'm not sure yet. You know, looking forward to school ball, but last year I never got the chance, so really all I've done is travel ball up to this point, so I'd have to go travel. Never got the chance to play school ball yet.
And as a freshman, you were at Huntington Central last year, and you were on the JV team, right?
Well, we got in before the shutdown was a week of tryouts, and then we had one day of practice. So I don't even know. I had won the first day of tryouts. I was with the freshman guys in my grade. Then I got called up, and I was with the JV varsity group. But I'll never know which team I was on, I guess, because this year I'm at St. Joe's, transferred out of Huntington Central. But yeah, I'm not sure how that would have worked out and everything, because we didn't get the chance to start the season at all.
No, obviously, you know, St. Joe's kind of a top school in New Jersey. What made you want to go there and kind of transfer and make this big switch, you know, in your academic and professional career?
So, you know, Huntington Central, obviously, big school. It's not a bad place. I mean, I enjoyed it there, but I got to meet the coaches from St. Joe's and everything, got in touch with my family, and I know a couple guys there from travel ball who are on the team, and it just seemed like a very welcoming spot and a great place to be, and couldn't pass up the opportunity to be there. Obviously, great coaching, great kids, a great team. It's just a great place to be.
Now what are they expecting from you going into the spring?
So, I mean, obviously, for me, a lower classman and a sidearm angle, like, it's more of an expected reliever role. So, depending on what kind of pitching we have and what kind of depth there is, maybe down in the starting rotation or getting innings during week-long games, you know. Not really sure yet. Got to see how it plays out, what kind of depth there is on the team, but just looking forward to doing anything I can do to help out the team.
Mm-hmm. Dom, you have any questions?
Yeah, I just one quick one here. Now, Jimmy, obviously I saw online that you are a right-handed pitcher as well as a first base and also outfield, along with third base at a couple of times. Like, it seems to me that you like to be a pitcher more often, especially with that sidearm delivery. What made you kind of think that you're more comfortable with that position, or do you also see yourself possibly being in another position with your secondaries?
So mainly when I was on the smaller field, you know, before we make the jump to 60-90 foot regulation fields, I was first baseman, third base, and rotate outfield, you know, just rotate all around. And I really wasn't a pitcher. Like, I would pitch now and then when we needed it, but it wasn't my main, like, that was my secondary. Yeah. And then I always threw from like a lower arm angle as far as sidearm. And then as I got older, it just felt comfortable lower and lower. And I just found out I could get more outs, got more movement on my pitches, and I could spot up better from down there. So then as I got older, I mean, I developed into more of pitcher, obviously, like I am now. And then I play some first base now, but I think the future for me will definitely be as a pitcher.
Now, did someone tell you that, hey, you know, you should probably go towards pitching more than hitting or like fielding, or was that kind of your call?
I mean, when I was 13 years old is when I started like really pitching, like when that was becoming my main focus. And then last year, 14U, was when I was like mainly set as a pitcher. Like, I would still hit and play first base, but pitching is what I mainly did. And then this year, it was pretty much all pitching for me. Like, I'd get a couple at-bats a weekend, play first when we needed it, but pitching is definitely in the future for me. So it was kind of a self-decision, but encouraged by other people. Like, yeah, you know, you should probably start focusing on pitching, and that's what I've been doing.
Now, what is your favorite? What's your favorite pitch to throw?
So when I have my stuff, like on my best day, I'd say my slider is definitely my go-to pitch, especially to righties. You know, lefties, I try and get more of a changeup, something to dive away from, then get a swing and miss, swing over the ball, or maybe a rollover. But my go-to pitch is and always has been my slider, especially from the sidearm angle. Get lots of movement out of there.
Now, are you trying to develop any more pitches, or like what's the deal? Because obviously, all right, so fastball, changeup, slider.
Mm-hmm.
You got a slur, curve, 12-6.
You know, it's hard, obviously, a curveball from that angle, because you're coming in side to side. It's more of horizontal rather than vertical, so
yeah,
it's hard to get on top of the ball. But my pitches right now are the slider, I got a four seam, and then sometimes if I'm trying to go into righty or away to a lefty, I'll mix in a two seam, try and get more tail, change up the velocity. But it's pretty much those four, just four seam, two seam, and then change up and slider.
Nah.
No, that's actually really, sorry, I was going to say, that's
no, yeah, go
down. Point. Especially for a sidearm, if you do a two-seamer, that's kind of like a sinker, in my opinion, to where that does tail away. So I really like your pitch repertoire a lot.
No, yeah, and I have one thing in terms of like, this always kind of interests me, and this is probably the last question before we go to break, is like changing up pitch speed and also your arm, the way you deliver the ball. Like, how, like, do you, like, in the beginning, was it difficult to kind of change speed but still trying to make it look like it was a fastball but you were throwing a slider, or a slider looking like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. So one of the main things I've done is I don't throw a traditional slider with, like, along the seams. It's actually more of a spike curve, but where I've got my knuckle on the ball and then my finger along the seam. But since it's a sidearm angle, it moves more like a slider, which I guess isn't very common, you know, having a different kind of grip from down there. But, yeah, so I really – it's not as much as a traditional slider, but mixing up speeds, like, that's one thing that helps, you know, having that different grip rather than – just having a traditional fastball thrown to like a slider, the grip definitely helps change up the velocity and try and mix it up, I guess.
Yeah, I think that'll probably help you in the long run too. I think, you know, because it's different. I don't think kids are used to that, you know, seeing it come out of that angle, and also probably the way it's spinning, they're probably going to get probably lost in that. But we're here with Jimmy Mulvaney, highly touted high school prospect, and we'll be right back after these underwriting announcements on 107.7 The Bronc and 107.7thebronc.com.
And we're back with this edition of the Sports Fever. Let's send it back to our hosts now.
.com, live from the Rider University Studios. It's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Anthony Colasano. And alongside me today, it's Dom DeRosa and Sean Johnson. And our special guest, baseball prospect, Jimmy Mulvaney. You know, in the last segment, I kind of took the reins of the segment, you know, asked him questions and all that fun stuff. And now his cousin Sean is, you know, going to take the reins on this one and, you know, dive into more of, you know, his baseball career so far. So, Sean, take it away.
All right. So, Jimmy, welcome to the show. I'm glad to have you.
Thank you.
So, you know, obviously, you know, we have a pretty extensive background. We know each other a little bit.
A little bit?
A little bit.
Tiny bit.
Yeah, only like 15 years or however old you are. So, all right. So, hopping into the baseball questions. So, I know that you've played for a decent amount of teams. I've seen a lot of your games, but is there a favorite team that you've ever played for?
So when I was growing up, obviously I played for the town team a lot, and that was a lot of fun. But once I was 10 years old, I went over to Diamondbacks, and that's kind of been my home for a while. You know, since these past 5 or 6 years, that's really been my home. But I think my favorite team I played for was when I was 12 years old, and we put together a team to go down to Cooperstown. And that was a lot of the guys from DJX and just people we were friends with from there. And that's got to be my favorite team. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely. And I've been to a lot of those games. Well, not the Cooperstown ones, but I've seen a lot of the people that were on that Cooperstown's team. And I've seen a lot of the videos and stuff. And yeah, it definitely did look fun. Now, like I said, I've pretty much been to a lot of your games since you've been growing up, and not just baseball. It's also been other things like basketball, football. Now, if you ended up not playing baseball, is there another sport you would have liked to take on? Because I know you're very athletic. You know, you're good at basketball and then in football too. You're a quarterback and a DN. So, you want to tell me about that?
Yeah. So I played basketball up until last year and football up until 2 years ago, and obviously a lot of fun, you know, but baseball, as I got older, kind of just stood out to me as my main focus. But even through middle school, I was like, man, I got to make a decision soon on what I really want to focus on. I didn't know, but basketball, like, very obviously a lot of fun. I played last year, just freshman team for fun, but football definitely would be one I love. You know, like you said, when I was younger, if you like the intermediate years, I played some quarterback, DN, linebacker. That was definitely fun. But, you know, I love all three, but baseball is definitely the one that stands out to me as my favorite.
And you also got to play on Giants Field too. That's what I mentioned.
Yeah,
I forgot about that. All right, now I know that you've been scouted by some college teams. You've been in contact with a few of them. And I know that you can't mention them, you know, for reason.
Like, I think it's like, I think it's like NCAA, like violations or stuff like that. It has to be something with that.
Rule violations, So how many schools have you talked to?
So I've talked, like, not to be too specific, I've talked to a couple just trying to get my name out. Obviously, since coronavirus and everything, there's a dead period for as far as recruiting, which means like Division I schools can't come and watch you in person. And the way it works is weird because even without the dead period, which we're in right now, just got extended again, I think, to February 1st. But like the way it works with recruiting and everything is schools can't directly reach out to you. So until your junior year, September 1st. So how it mainly works is like a coach will reach out to one of your travel ball coaches and say like, hey, tell this kid to give me a call sometimes and stay in touch. But yeah, I've talked to a couple and just looking anyway to get my name out there and see what I can do at the next level.
Yeah. Okay. So, now I'm going to get into something kind of a little fun here. Like I said, you've been playing for a while, so you've definitely had a bunch of like, you know, great accolades. So do you have a favorite pitching moment that you've had during your career as a pitcher?
That's tough. A lot of fun moments across the years, but I think one of them up there is definitely, this is when I first started like thinking, man, I should really focus on pitching. When I was first year on the big field, we were playing up in the tournament, and this was like when I wasn't even a main pitcher, it was still secondary. And we made it to the semifinals in an older tournament, and I was the only guy we had left. Coach is like, hey, you got it, just go out there, have fun, like don't worry about it. And that was one of my best outings, so that was when I really started focusing on pitching. And then last year we went down to Florida for a national tournament, and that was one of my better outings against a good team down there. So either of those, probably my favorite moments, my best outings, just whenever facing a good team and doing well, it's always fun.
All right, nice. And now moving over to hitting, I know I've seen a few in person. You've had some pretty cool moments.
And when we play blitz ball.
Oh, man. Especially off Anthony.
We don't talk about that.
I've gotten better. Come on. You got to give me something. The last pitching I pitched pretty well.
You got to give him credit.
You did pitch pretty well last time. Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. But anyways, you know, more not professionally, but not blitzball. Do you have any favorite hitting moments?
So I think the moment, two moments that stand out to me, one of them you were there for. We got to play in Maryland at the Cal Ripken tournament. It was the playoffs in the big stadium, went into extra innings. I came up with two outs. There's a guy on second, and I fouled off a couple pitches, took a couple pitches, then I hit one into right field for a walk-off. So that was definitely up there. But I think my favorite moment is down at Cooperstown in the championship. We were playing a big team from Staten Island. They had kids from all over, and kid was throwing hard. And first inning, we got the leadoff guy on. It was like we were pumped, like, all right, we have a shot. And then after that, you know, two kids went down on strikes. So there were two outs, and I was coming up. And I was pretty much just sitting on a first pitch fastball, just hope I can catch up to it. And I caught up to it first pitch and put it over the wall in left field, got us out to a 2-0 lead, and just gave us huge momentum through that game. And we ended up winning that game 8-0, and that was probably my favorite game I've ever been a part of, especially that moment. But just that whole game together, that was a great experience, winning with all those kids that I've been friends with since we were younger, and that was just really great.
Now, was that the one where you just closed your eyes and just let it rip?
Yeah, I was telling Anthony about this. I mean, that kid, we were on a 50-foot mound, and that kid was throwing north of 80 miles an hour most of the game, especially the first inning. So I'm on deck, and I'm looking at our first base coach, one of the kid's dads who I'm very close with, and I was like, look, what's the approach here? And he's like, dude, just sit on the fastball and hope you get one. So I was pretty much, I saw his first three kids, he gave him first pitch fastballs, just knowing he could blow it by him. And I was like, if I catch up to it, I mean, it's got a chance if I barrel it. So I kind of just closed my eyes, saw fastball, and let it rip and hope for the best, and ended up working out.
Cool. Nice. All right. And I got one more question for you here. And that is, so throughout your time playing baseball, you know, you've had your dad as a mentor, as a coach. You know, he's had a bunch of different roles. How has that affected you?
I mean, my dad coached baseball, football, everything when I was younger. And then as you get older, you know, you've got the professional coaches, I guess, the guys that are really there to help you develop. But obviously coaching when I was younger taught me everything I know. So that's a huge part of where I am today. And both my parents sacrificing, you know, taking me to all these tournaments, getting me out there, doing everything I need to help me be as best as I can. You know, it's always been a great help, and I thank them for that.
Yeah, I know that they're both very passionate about it. You know, I've seen it firsthand. It's definitely got to be something, you know, to help you get through that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have a question. Was there what was like the best advice your parents ever gave you during this kind of run you're on, or in the case you're still on right now?
That's a tough one. I mean, when we were, I think that would come from my dad. When we were younger, there would always be this one team we'd play, Baskin Ridge, when we were still in town ball. And every time we'd play them, like, we know it's going to be rough. Like, if we play our best game and they play their worst, we got a chance at winning. But, you know, not only what he's told me, but what any coach I've had, like, the greatest advice I've got is, if you play your best game that day, especially in baseball, like, anyone can beat anybody. And that's probably the best advice I got. Just you play your best game and do what you can control, you're going to set yourself up to win.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the best advice you can give anybody. Just do what's in your control. Just eliminate any distraction and anything that you can control and focus on what you can.
Exactly.
So I think that's great. I have another thing. This is what I wanted to mention before the last break. In terms of, like, pitching and stuff, obviously, you know, in today's game, analytics and, you know, the sabermetric thing is like a big thing. Are you like aware, or like, do you know like spin rates and stuff like do you keep tabs on like all that sort of stuff when you pitch, or are you not like there yet, or that advanced yet to get to that point?
So I obviously, like, there's these college showcases that there are just for kids to go sign up and try and get like the best competition, and there's like schools watching just trying to get your name out there, all these kids. But what they have there, especially these PBR, the Prep Baseball Report, these events, they have like this tracking device. I forget the exact name of it, but it tracks spin rate, everything, velocity, and obviously throwing at a different arm angle creates a different spin rate. So I always pay attention to that, you know, keep track of that, and it always gets a lot of attention and publicity. So I look at the spin rate, but, you know, I feel like that stuff obviously is great, like velocity and spin rate and everything, but movement obviously, but I think it's all about, in the long run, just getting outs and throwing strikes and hitting spots.
Yeah, and I think spin rate is more important than velocity, especially now, obviously, you know, Tommy John surgery is happening more and more in Major League Baseball, and especially, you know, younger, and what you're in, you know, AAU ball and all that stuff, because, you know, they're pitching at such a high volume at such a young age, and they don't know kind of, I'm not saying they don't know the fundamentals, but like there's obviously, you hear the term, there's a difference between throwing and pitching.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, you know, you're a pitcher. You obviously definitely know the difference between throwing and pitching, because you don't throw 95 gas. So that's throwing. But is there always like a concern in the back of your mind, of both your mind and your parents' mind, of like, you know, Tommy John, like UCL tear? And how do you stay prepared so that doesn't happen?
So there's always, especially today, like more and more arm care everywhere, just to keep yourself healthy. And obviously it's always in the back of your mind, like if you're pitching and you feel any kind of soreness anywhere on a joint or shoulder, elbow, like you just want to shut it down right there no matter what. I actually had a friend who, we were down in Alabama, who was pitching. He felt something in his elbow, was like, oh, that's weird, threw another pitch, and then just complete, like, blew out his arm, and he wasn't able to throw for a couple months after that. So obviously always in the back of my mind, but you do anything like weighted balls, band work, anything you can to just keep your arm as healthy as possible. Don't overthrow, but make sure you're throwing enough, like everything you can possibly do to stay as far away as injury, and just make it as easy as possible to keep yourself from being injured or hurting your arm.
Yeah, and what about your delivery? Like, does that play a role in like how you can stay away from it? Because I've heard like a lot. Like, I remember, like, for example, like Matt Harvey. Everyone said he had the perfect delivery. Like, there's no way he's gonna get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got hurt. So, you know, do you really take like pride in, you know, you just make sure that same delivery every time, and that it's like you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, not overworking other parts in your body.
Yeah, so not to get too specific, but like coming from a sidearm angle, it's all about posture. So if my chest is straight up and I've got my arm down, that's a lot of stress on the shoulder. So I try and keep like my chest low, less stress on my arm, everything you can do. But obviously sidearm, there's more, like people say there's more risk. People say there's less. Like it's really, not many people know too much about it. But I mean, obviously getting injured at any point, arm injury is possible for anyone. Like throwing a baseball is just not a natural kind of movement. So injury is possible for anyone, and just anything you can do to stay away from it. Like I said, arm care routines, just getting in a routine is always good to try and stay away from that.
Yeah, I think that's super key. But we got to take a quick break. We're on the air with baseball prospect and Sean's cousin, Jimmy Mulvaney. In the next segment, Dom is gonna take the reins and, you know, ask him some questions. Dom, are you ready for?
I'm ready. You know, I got a couple. I got four questions to ask.
All right, word. All right, cool. So we'll be right back after these underwriting announcements, only on 107.7 The Bronc and 107.7TheBronc.com.
And we're back with this edition of the Sports Fever. Let's send it back to our hosts now.
.com, live from the Riding University Studios. It's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Andy Colasano. And alongside me today, it's Don DeRosa and Sean Johnson. And our special guest, baseball prospect Jimmy Mulvaney. In the last two segments, me and Sean kind of took turns, you know, asking Jimmy some questions, having an engaging conversation. And Dom, you're up. This segment's yours. You know, you have full range. So floor is yours, my guy.
Thank you, Anthony Colasano. Well, Jenny, thanks again for coming on. It really means a lot. You know, you brought Sean here for once. That's awesome.
Yeah. You're kind of the reason why Sean came.
What do you mean? I've been here every week.
Sure.
But that's all right. So my first question, some of these I had while Sean was also asking them, so it might sound a little repetitive, but I changed it up a bit. But like for the recruiting process, I know you can't go into specifics on who and where, really, but like how has that just been with COVID being in place? Like has there been like Zoom calls or anything like that, or have you not really heard from anything too much?
Yeah, so like the sophomore year for me was where I was expecting it all to pick up, and it was hard because over the summer like there's really no way to showcase yourself and no way to be seen. But it's as far as like calls and stuff, it's all pretty much phone calls as of now, and just guys are trying to keep in touch, but, you know, it's hard because you can't really advance that process too much without seeing a kid in person, which you really can't do now because it's all, obviously, it's about skill and how you can play if you're a player or not, but it really comes down to attitude, what type of kid you are, and not being able to go see someone in person, that obviously affects that a lot.
Yeah. All right. That's pretty interesting to say the least, but
I've got a question to kind of build off of that, too. It just came to mind. So, you know, obviously you're a sophomore and you've already been in contact with a few different schools. So, you know, I just find it interesting that you're being scouted at such a younger age. You know, like usually with other sports, it's like junior year, senior year, they really start kicking in and like looking at people. Why is that different for baseball?
You know, any coach I've talked to about that, like, why does it start so early? Like, why don't you wait till a kid's developed and see? It's like, you can't really control that anymore because, like, it's always been starting early and earlier the past few years. And, you know, at this point, it's even almost more about potential. Like, if you're a big, hard-throwing lefty, like, a school's – and you're young, freshman year, like, a school's going to take a chance on you and hope they can develop you. But, you know, it's been starting earlier and earlier, and it's hard once you're at this point to adjust, you know, have it start later. But – I mean, there's really no solid answer for that. Like, it's just the past couple of years, it's just always started earlier and earlier to the point where, like, freshmen and sophomores are getting recruited and signed with, like, big Division I schools.
And I know you said that, like, a lot of your friends have, like, taken another year after eighth grade. Like, they'll repeat the eighth grade just to kind of help that process, right?
Mm-hmm. You did tell us that.
Yeah, so, like, some kids, I guess, if you're young for your grade or you want that extra year of development, what a lot of kids do is they'll reclass eighth grade or any year, really, but it's most common in eighth grade. So you repeat that, get the extra year. So you go from being a younger kid in your grade, maybe a little bit behind, to being a full year ahead of everyone and older. So I guess it helps, but I don't think it's really necessary unless you're really behind and you really need that extra year of development. You know, maybe injury or just you're on the younger side, haven't really fully developed yet. But, yeah, a lot of kids are starting to do that nowadays.
All right. That's good. That's a great answer. My second question would be, when it comes to any baseball player, I don't know if you really watch MLB too much, but do you have any favorite in mind or anyone that you look up to?
I mean, growing up, being a Red Sox fan, you know, Sean and I watching the Red Sox growing up,
I was going to ask you that, what your favorite team was too.
So oh yeah, diehard Red Sox all the time. But I mean, I think looking up to, I mean, I couldn't give you a specific one, but I think my favorite all-time player's got to be David Ortiz. Like, just like, he was like my idol to me growing up and watching him play. Like, it was just awesome. Like, one of the most clutch players of all time. I actually was at the ALDS with his walk-off grand slam, so that was definitely a great moment. But yeah, David Ortiz got to be my favorite of all time.
All right. I know Sean touched on this a little in his last segment, but I want to ask you as well with this. Do you have anyone specifically who inspired you growing up when it comes to your family or friends or maybe even your cousin Sean? I doubt that one, but do you have anyone?
Okay, I taught him everything he knows baseball related.
Yeah, so obviously my parents played a big role in that and like teaching me growing up and just getting me around the sport of baseball and everything I've enjoyed up to then. But, you know, I think being around other kids and competing with them and just having that competition aspect, like you're with those guys, you're on their team, but in between the lines, like it's all competition trying to get better. So I think just being around other kids of my age and like everyone shooting for the same dream and the same goal, like that's what creates the competition. And like that's what inspires you to just do better and try and be the best on the field every day.
Now, do you like meet up with these like other like kids and you try to like help one another out?
So yeah, it's all competition, but it's all friendly competition. Like just trying to make each other better and push each other to be the best you can possibly be.
And this is my last question. I think this one's a good one. When it comes to either stepping on the mound or stepping into the batter's box, describe yourself in one word whenever you're taking the field.
That's a tough one. One word.
That's a good question.
I mean,
it's not a question.
When I'm on the mound, I don't know specific word, but like, I feel like I'm obviously very competitive person. I take after my dad in that. Like everything we do is competition, and just anything like in the box, whether there's guys on base, whatever, it's just one on one. Like anything you could do to win that battle, get him out. But I don't know if I could think of one word. Like, it's almost anger, like I like trying to win everything you do. Just like, I don't know, one word. That is a good question.
I like your answer on that one.
Yeah,
you know, put a sweat on it.
I can't think of a specific word, but just something like that, like being competitiveness.
No, I love it. Thank you, man. Yeah, it's been great having those questions for you. So that's all I got.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Now, going back to the Red Sox thing, because obviously I'm a Yankees fan, and you know, the three of us, including your father, have had some interesting conversations about it, especially when we played each other and all that good stuff. And you guys want to keep reminding me about your 2018 World Championship, and sometimes Sean wants to bring in, what happened in 2013? I'm saying,
wait, what did happen in 2013?
What did happen in 2013?
I don't remember. You got to refresh my mind.
Yeah. Guys won the World Series, but in my defense, I was rooting for you guys because obviously of the unfortunate events that did happen in Boston that year. It only seemed fitting, but yeah, I mean, obviously, this could be a question for both of you guys. But obviously, look, New York metropolitan area, we're not in Boston. So how does it, you know, does it feel weird rooting for like the Red Sox in a really heavily New York market where it's like, you know, Yankees, Mets, and you know, if you're in the South Jersey area, it's Phillies?
No, definitely. Like, even I know Sean can definitely relate to this. Like, you wear a Red Sox jersey out in public, it's instantly like, oh, what a terrible jersey. I've embraced it at this point. But like going up to Boston, I know we went for the parade. We've been up there for a game or two, but it's just such a different atmosphere up there, like being a part of the mutual fan base, like it's cool. But I don't know, I like being one of the only Red Sox fans around here. It's pretty cool.
It makes yourself stand out almost.
Yeah. No, definitely. Yeah.
I mean, that goes for me with pretty much every single sport, except for obviously the Rangers and the Knicks, because, you know, I walk around with a Cowboys jersey like I am right now. And then, you know, it's like everyone's like, which is actually really surprising because there's a lot of Cowboys fans.
Yeah, there are. Yeah. And we've run into a couple where like you're wearing one and they see you and you'll start talking to them.
If anything, and I know I've talked to you about this before, like I think I get more positive interactions with the Cowboys jerseys than I do negative, which is the complete opposite for the Red Sox.
For real.
There's not a lot of Red Sox fans out here, but you know, Cowboys, they are America's team, whatever you guys say. Yeah. So
I don't know about this year, Sean. This year's a
that just shows you that we still are America's team, that, you know,
I don't think you're even on for America's game of the week the last couple of weeks, Sean. So
We already had eight of them this season.
And you guys were like, it was like every, for like a good solid couple of years, it was like America's game of the week, Cowboys versus the Texans or Cowboys versus the Giants.
Every week. It was annoying because like they'd most of the time make that prime time too. So I'd have to wait like a whole day or a day and a half just to see them play.
Yeah.
Sean, not going to lie. We're talking about all this America's team primetime football. I can recall, obviously I can't talk this year as a Giants fan. You know, 1-7's not looking too hot and looking for the draft pick at this point. But I know we're talking about Cowboys past couple of years, successful primetime, but Giants got the Super Bowl. I don't know. Cowboys, when's that coming?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so we got to take a quick break.
Sean's got to answer this before we go to break.
Yeah, you know, we'll get there. That's all I got to say about that. You know, we've had very, you know, unfortunate turnouts in games. Yeah. We've had to go up against Aaron Rodgers so many times. I hate that man because of what he's done to us in the playoffs. You know, we had the whole Dez Caudet situation. We had Tony Romo getting injured 100 times, Dak Prescott now with his ankle this year. So, you know, I don't want to make excuses, but that definitely does play a big role in all of this. Oh,
dang it. All right, whatever. Sorry, I'm watching football, and I was like, oh, I thought that was Drew Locke for a second. Oh, well.
No, yeah, I think as much as I dislike the Cowboys, I think I could see them putting together a good team in the future. They got the all-star running back. When the offensive line is healthy, you know, that's deadly. If they can establish their running game in the next few years, I think that'll be a really good team.
Yeah, your offensive line was always your strong suit, and this year it's just like,
I mean, they've all retired or gotten injured this year. So, I mean, Tyron Smith is out for the year with an ACL injury, and he's been dealing with back problems his entire career. And then we lost Zach Martin to injury. We lost Travis Frederick to retirement. Connor Williams, he's injured too. And I mean, we just have like our whole offensive line, like from week one, is like injured. So it's impossible. And then on top of that, Dak got injured. And then we have questionably one of the best backup quarterbacks in the league in Andy Dalton, where he had obviously a lot of experience in Cincinnati, my other favorite team. And he gets injured from a dirty hit. So then, you know, then we got to move on to, what's his name, Ben DiNucci. And then he, you know, he can't play well under a dysfunctional offensive line. So then we pick up some guy off the side of the road named Garrett Gilbert. I don't even know with this team anymore.
Yeah, I think for both teams, it's just a matter of just, you know, looking. It's just now you just got to look ahead to next year. Yep. At this point, it's just get the best position you can in the draft and just go from there.
Well, you see, though, maybe that's not the case because I'm not saying we're going to do anything at all. I'm not going to be a typical Cowboys fan.
Oh, they can make a run.
Oh, we're winning the Super Bowl this year every single year. No, I'm not like that. As you guys know from, if you listen to the show a lot, I'm very unbiased and I have
that is true.
Good takes and stuff like that. So I've never thought that the Cowboys had a great chance, unless it was like that one year we went 13-3. That was the only time I thought we had a good chance, and then we met Aaron Rodgers. But no, we're in the NFC East, a very bad division this year. And you never know. If you make it to the playoffs, anything can happen. Like I said, not saying anything will happen, but
no, yeah, they're gonna, like, the whole NFC East with injury, like, and even just like the unfortunate events, like the Washington, you know, the quarterback just didn't work out. Like Dwayne Haskins was a big prospect, looked like he was gonna be the answer for them, and just that didn't work out really. And then the Giants, obviously, with Barkley getting injured, who knows the deal with Daniel Jones, you know. unfortunate. Like, the offensive line is still a problem for them. And then the Cowboys and Eagles just getting flooded with injuries all year. Like, the Eagles had to bring up guys, like, their whole wide receiving core from the practice squad. And obviously the Cowboys, Sean just touched on that. Like, the whole NFC East is just so filled with injury and just missing places on roster. So that's going to be interesting the next couple of years, see how those teams rebuild and develop.
Yeah, the NFC is going to be very interesting to watch. But we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to, you know, wrap it up with the interview with Jimmy Mulvaney. I'm going to ask him some, just kind of some fun, you know, fun questions, you know, nothing too crazy. So that'll be coming up after these underwriting announcements, only on 107.7 The Bronc and 107.7TheBronc.com.
And we're back with this edition of the Sports Fever. Let's send it back to our hosts now.
TheBronc.com, live from the Ride University Studios. It's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Andy Colasano. And alongside me today, it's Dom DeRosa and Sean Johnson and our special guest, baseball prospect Jimmy Mulvaney. So in the last three segments, we all kind of took turns asking him some, you know, hard-hitting and interesting questions. In this segment, we're going to kind of keep it lighthearted and pretty simple for him to kind of wrap up this hour and move along to the next hour. So, Dom, you wanted to go first. God, I can't speak. But floor is yours.
All right, thanks, Ant. So, Jimmy, this is my last one for you. So this is more of a fun one, obviously. And let's say it's not a COVID world as of right now. When you have your off days during your baseball season, what do you like to do during those off days? Anything specific?
So, obviously, on an off day, like, there's off days where you're doing nothing. There's off days where you're training or whatever. But if I got a day where I'm not doing anything, obviously, catch up on some sleep, focus on school. But one thing I like doing, I actually started doing more now that we're in COVID, going fishing a lot. Like, just go out to the lake, put a line in the water, catch some fish, even going down to the ocean, like when we were on vacation. Like, just that's one thing I've picked up recently, like on off days, going out on the boat and going fishing is something I've enjoyed doing recently.
Cool.
You got around Valley a lot?
Oh, Round Valley, Spruce Run, like just places local that it's always fun to go out there on an off day.
No, yeah, for sure. And then to kind of pay you off, Dom, food. You know, obviously, you know, you're an athlete. Diet's pretty important. So do you have, like, a strict diet in season? And then to follow up on that, cheat meal, what is it?
That's a good question. So right now where I am, it's all about trying to build muscle and get stronger. So anything protein, like, try stay away from a ton of sugar, but really, just the main focus is getting a lot of protein, just being able to get stronger and keep working out. But the cheat meal, that's a great question. I mean, I know Sean can back me up on this. A lot of birthdays and stuff, we like to go to Hibachi, yep. The family. That's definitely a great one. Nice. I mean, that's got to be it right there. Going there, that's definitely always the cheat meal. That's my favorite for sure.
I mean, you kind of can't beat just that overall experience. You just know that you're gonna end on a very good full stomach. Like, yeah. There's nothing better than that. And Sean.
All right. So my question for you is, now, like I said, I've been to a lot of games. I know how you and your friend Austin Nace, you guys have a great, you know, relationship. You guys and the team. So I just want you to tell me, you know, how you met him and, you know, what he really means for you guys.
Yeah, so Austin is a kid that I met in first grade at school. He's got MPS disease. So he always comes to all of our games, our biggest supporter, you know, part of the team. We give him a jersey and stuff, and we love spending time with him. But he plays a big role, like, in our team, especially, like, anytime he's at one of our games, like, everyone going up to him saying hi just, like, brings an atmosphere. It, like, puts everyone in a good mood seeing him and just inspires us and pushes us to do better. Like, you know, be there for Austin, do everything we can, make him happy. And just we love having him around. And I met him when I was younger, like I said. I think it was first grade where I went to school with him. And then from there, just we've been friends since then. And he's come to all of the baseball games, football, everything. You know, he's always there, so he's great to have around.
Yeah, I think it also kind of, you know, just I think seeing him, you know, obviously when you see him, it kind of puts everything in perspective. It kind of almost humbles you, Like, you know, it's almost like you think like you have it rough or like you don't want to do something, but like here's this kid, you know, with this, you know, disease or disability, and he's, you know, making an effort each and every day to, you know, come see you guys play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and his parents play a big role in that. I mean, they do everything they can. I've witnessed that. They bring him to all of our games, you know, always having him, being there for him. And Austin actually just had a surgery. Luckily, everything went well. He's back. He was back at the field last week for our last game. But you know, he's a strong kid. You know, he fights, and he's awesome to have around. He's a huge inspiration for me, especially, and I know all the guys on the baseball team and everyone who knows him. He's a great person to look up to and be inspired by.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I was lucky enough to meet him a few times. He's a great kid. I love him, yeah.
Yeah, he's always, like, even being the stuff that he goes through, always in a good mood, always singing, always smiling, just a great kid to be around.
Yeah, I think that's always, yeah, you need that kind of, you know, positivity, you know, in your life, and especially in the times that we live in now, definitely. But this is going to do it for this hour of the show, but don't worry, we got a second hour coming up with Jimmy. It's going to be kind of our normal kind of sports talk. We're going to get into some Red Sox talk, you know, with their recent rehiring of their manager, and kind of other things that's going on in the sports world. We're going to cater towards Jimmy since he is our special guest. So whatever he wants to talk about, we will talk about. So that's coming up on the second hour of the Sports Fever, only on 107.7 The Bronx at 107.7thebronx.com.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Sports Fever. Be sure to subscribe to our channel and be on the lookout for new episodes every Monday at 1 to 3 on 107.7 The Bronx and also on every podcasting platform you can think of.